Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal. Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal, professional, or financial counsel or advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts, guests, or agents with IWDM or Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is not endorsed, sponsored, or certified by any third-party agency. Thank you for listening.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Rashid Salam, your engineer for tonight's show of Parenting and Family Reconstructing Learning Lab. Our program is designed to provide the listening audience with an interactive conversation on effective parenting. This episode will focus on developing leadership skills in children. And our listeners are invited to bring questions as well as share their parenting experiences to the Learning Lab. With that, I'd like to bring to you your hosts for tonight's show, Dr. Patricia Saluddin and Mark Shaheed. Assalamu alaikum, my brother.
Alaikum assalam to you, William Kareem, and to Dr. Patricia Saluddin, and to our very astute IWDM radio listening audience. And as always, I'd like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Ashhadu ila ilaha illallah wa sharika lahu wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian, evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble and generous messenger. And what follows is an excellent salutation, the prayers and peace be upon the prophet. I am Mark Shaheem, the host, facilitator, producer, along with Dr. Patricia Saluddin of the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, that's heard each and every Wednesday here on IWDM Radio. And Dr. Saluddin and myself, we'd like to welcome you, and particularly our first-time callers, into the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. We want you to know that this, in fact, is your learning lab, and we ask you to bring it to the lab. Any questions that you may have in terms of what is correct parenting from an Islamic perspective, how do we reconstruct a destructive family life? We want you also to know that we'd like for you to bring an open mind, an open heart to this learning lab. And always, when you come to the learning lab, don't forget your tools. A sharp pencil or ink pen and a notebook pad will do. And we also are aware of the fact that many of you tune in by way of the Internet. And we'd like for you to be involved in this learning lab with questions or comments, or maybe what you heard resonate with you. And for you to be a part of that, you do have to call into the studio. That number is 714-816-4673. Once again, the studio number for IWDM Radio is 714-816-4673. We want you to know that this learning lab, like the Sister Learning Lab, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, have the same foundation. We utilize three sources for both of these learning labs. The first is Al-Quran. Al-Quran is the final revelation for all of humanity. The final revelation for all of humanity. The second source that we use is the life example of the prophet in actually demonstrating the Quran in his lifetime. And the final source in terms of our foundation is the tafsir. That is the clear explanation by a scholarly teacher and leader, Imam Waqifuddin Muhammad. Those are the three sources that we use that form the foundation for disseminating information and education in regards to correct parenting and how to reconstruct the destructive family life. We also have established some staples here throughout the years here on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, given a very simplistic but a very profound definition when it comes to parenting. We say parenting is simply the process of nurturing and cultivating not only the physical, but the moral, the emotional, the rational, the intellectual, the social, and the spiritual development of our children from infanthood to adulthood. This is a big role and responsibility for both parents, and we want to dismiss the misnomer, the misconception, perception that this is only the role for the mother only, but the father has a part in it, in that nurturing and cultivating these vital components that comprise the holistic human being. Also, another very important staple It's the role and responsibility as parents to raise our children up to become leaders and to exemplify leadership qualities, first and foremost for themselves, then their family, and also their community. And we say, inshallah, which simply means, God willing, having that conscious regardfulness of our role and responsibility and fulfilling that obligation to raising our children up, you know, with that concept, then we feel that some world leaders can and will emerge from that way of thinking. Also, we have established here on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab that it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is Allah the Most High, who is perfect and with no errors and mistakes and shortcomings. He is the first teacher for all of his human creation, and he's given the honor and distinction after birth to the mother to be the first teacher and the first leader, not only for our baby girls, but also for our baby boys. And it is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam who has said that paradise lies at the foot of the mother. Many, many interpretations of that, but Almighty God, Allah, has given this honor and responsibility to give to the mother the honor and distinction of giving the foundational knowledge not only to our baby girls, but also to our baby boys. And it has been traditional here on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab for over 6 years now to always have an overview for the past episodes that we had. And I'd like to welcome back my partner that I missed so much, but we had Rashid Salam sitting there, and he did an excellent job. Welcome back, Dr. Patricia Saldeen. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you doing, Brother Mark?
Well, you know, I'm always amped up on Wednesday because I know it's the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab time. And boy, I tell you, the more I watch the news and the more I hear what's going on in the outer society, and when I think about all that's happening, that it is, I don't like, and many God-conscious people and those who are conscious, regardful of what God's word, will, and way is, I trace it back to the first social unit in human society, which is the sacred institution of family. And if we're ever going to correct some of these things that are happening in the broader society, it has to happen in the first social unit, which is the sacred institution of family. Thank you. Back to you.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed, Brother Mark. You are so right. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah, rabbil alamin. Assalamu alaikum, everyone. To hear the entire episode from last week, please go to blogtalkradio.com and select Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. The resource we're using for the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab is the parenting skills based on the Quran and Sunnah by Dr. Ekram and Dr. Muhammad Rida Bashir. The book can be purchased from Amana Book Publication, www.amana-publications.com, and also from Amazon. Last week's episode was entitled, Always Keep Your Promise. Several key points evolved from the lab regarding keeping promises. First, putting Allah first. Keeping promises is one of the greatest virtues in Islam. There were several references to keeping promises found in Quran, and you'll find them in Surah 5, Ayat 1, Surah 2, Ayat 177. And when I say Surah, I mean chapter 19, verse 54, and chapter 23, verse 8. Brother Mark and Brother Rashid reminded the believers that the best example of keeping promises is from Allah and His Messenger. In the Quran, we're reminded that Allah keeps His promise always. And in studying the life of the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, we see that the Prophet always kept his promise. In fact, before becoming the Prophet, he was known as the Trustworthy One. We, as obedient servants of Allah, are obligated to keep our promise as well. We have an obligation He promises that we make to ourselves, our families, and members of the community. Brother Mark and Brother Rashid also pointed out that upon entering the Sacred Institute of Marriage, when a couple becomes parents, they become responsible for the children that are produced from that marriage bond. And Brother Mark gave an acronym for bond, which means build on natural development. One of the responsibilities of the parent is to be the parent that follows the instructions of Allah as given in the Quran and observe and learn from the life of Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. There's much advice and illustrative examples related to keeping promises in the teachings of Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. Truthfulness, honesty, trustworthiness were identified as key values that parents are required to maintain. In the absence of these key values and not keeping promises, children can suffer emotional and psychological side effects. These side effects may include the inability to trust people. Parents not keeping promises can be a catalyst for children going astray from the path of Allah. It was also pointed out that children may lose the ability to trust. Children form opinions and perspectives based on their experiences with their parents. They also gave us some do's and don'ts for keeping your promise. Avoid saying things that you can't carry out. Before making a promise, consider if it is within your reach. Do not use promises as bribes, because bribing is equivalent to lying. Do not make threats that you cannot or have no intentions to carry out. Use rational threats that parents can follow through. If the follow through is incomplete, the child will belittle whatever punishment parents have promised them. In conclusion, parents are the first teachers of their children. They can shape the way the children see the world and behave in it. It is the responsibility of the parent to follow the guidance of Allah and provide an environment and information that a child can believe. Do not tell children false stories. Give them reasons and explanations that are factual and real. Let your words and your actions be congruent. A reminder from the Quran: those who faithfully observe their trust and their covenant shall inherit paradise. Chapter 23, Ayat 8. Back to you, Brother Mark.
Alhamdulillah, and alhamdulillah simply means that the praise and thanks belongs to God first and foremost, always. And once again, excellent summary that Dr. Patricia Salzdeen has provided for us, and hopefully he was taking great notes. She captured some of the highlights of last week with Rashid Salam sitting in for her and myself. I just want to say a couple of things in terms of the verbiage that was used in the book. I don't really care for, you know, threats, you know, in terms of threats. That's not the best word. Of course, the authors use it. But I do think when we're talking about keeping our promise, in terms of when it is that we have to reprimand our children, you know, the promise for the reprimand, it was also indicated in the book, and sometimes it is much needed for our children. So we want to be realistic. We want to be able to follow through on what it is that is promised. And why am I saying this? Because when we look at the Quran, whenever we read what God says, what Allah says in the Quran, that there are consequences. When you're obedient and you obey Allah and you obey His messenger, this is what God says in the Quran. And by being obedient and adhering to God's word and conforming to God's will and way, then Allah said, these are the consequences. This is what it is that is promised to you as a reward, you understand, for being obedient. But by the same token, those who don't and adhere to God's word and don't conform to God's will and strive to live the way Allah has instructed us in the Quran and demonstrated by his Rasul, his messenger, these are the consequences. So these are God's word, but this is his promise, and we say, Sadaqa Allah Uzeem. The best sadaqa that Allah can give to us is the truth. And we say, surely Allah has spoken the truth. And so this is the promise. So why am I saying this is that in following that Allah's promises are true, he doesn't break his promise. And also, as Dr. Salahuddin said, that his Rasul, his messenger promise is true. He doesn't break his promises or his word. He keeps his promise. He keeps his word. So when there are consequences in raising our children, there will be consequences, especially after they are conscious and aware of what it is that you have taught them, but in terms of constant violation of those rules, regulations, and all, it should not in terms of being a threat, but it had to be carried through. Other than that, they won't respect whatever it is that you have said or taught them. And if it's rules and regulations that's in the household, then you're setting them up for going out into the outer society with no regard or no respect for the laws that have been established in the outer society. So we have to follow through and let them know that there will be consequences and keeping our word in terms of what those consequences actually be and allow them to choose, you understand, what it is that they will do and they won't do, but to know that there will be consequences and it's not that we won't follow through on those things. So we don't want to give them a misconception and a misperception in terms of when they leave our household. We want them to see life in a real way. It is based on what it is that you do, be determined what it is that you will get. And I could say more, but I think I said enough. We'll stop there, Dr. Salahuddin, and I think tonight we have a very interesting topic by the Bashirs, the authors of this outstanding publication, and let's start there, and hopefully those who listen in, you got your pens and your pads ready to take some good notes, and we'd like for you to be involved to call in with your questions and comments. Dr. Salahuddin, back to you.
Okay, thank you, Mark. This chapter is very, very important chapter, and I enjoy reading this chapter, so.
Mm-hmm.
And contemplating on some of the things it said. So here we go. We're going to start off with a hadith. And the title, of course, is Touch Their Soul and Awaken Their Conscience. In an authentic hadith, the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, said, two men came to the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, to resolve a dispute that occurred between them. The Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, told them both, I am a human being like you, and when you ask for my judgment on an issue, and perhaps one of you is more eloquent and expressive in presenting his case, I may judge in his favor because of this, although the right may be with his counterpart. If I do this, I'm giving him a piece of the hellfire, and he is free to take it or leave it. Upon hearing this, both companions started crying, and both of them wanted to forfeit his right to the other. This is an example of how the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, awakened the conscience to the extent that they were even willing to sacrifice some of their rights to avoid being unjust or ending up with a piece of the hellfire. The best way to touch the soul of your child or teen or any human being for that matter, it is to use the wonderful methodology of the Quran. The Quran is the word of the Creator, and the Creator knows his creation. What affects them most and what touches their heart and soul? And so we're going to stop there, Mark, and give some thoughts. Some thought
Dr. Slodin, when you read that in terms of this hadith, I think one of the things that really could and should stand out that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually first stated that he was a human being, that he was a human being, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in the Quran, say to them that you are basharun muslukum, that you are a human being. But we know that the word basher actually means sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Dr. Slodin, he also stated in terms of when you come to him, you come into a human being in terms of settling your dispute. So in terms of looking at this, what was revealed to the prophet, he was letting them know, I'm human just like you, and I'm sensitive just like you. So maybe the one that's most articulate, I think they used the word eloquent, same thing in terms of being able to best articulate their position, it may be influential. It may be more influential, and if I judge, it's possible I could misjudge. And in misjudging, you understand that there, like I said a little earlier, there could be consequences. And so then, you know, this seemed to strike the consciousness, you know, in terms of looking at this, and you love for your brother what you love for yourself. So I think that, you know, here they had to do a rethinking how significant, how important this is in terms of being right in this case, and all, and not wanting to have a guilty conscience and putting that on the prophet. But, of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is Alim, he's all-knowing, and he's Al-Hakim, he's all-wise, Al-Basir, all-seeing, all-hearing. So Allahu Alam is the best knower, and we look at the Al-Fatiha where Allah lets us know that he is Maliki Yawmiddin, that he's the sole master of the day of judgment. And when we dicker, you know, when we dicker, that is thinking, for those who don't know what dicker means, it means thinking and remembering Allah much. One of the first things that we say, subhanAllah. And subhanAllah simply means that Allah is perfect. The glory goes to Allah. Allah is perfect. He's above mistakes. He's above errors. He's above shortcomings. We as human beings, we can make errors. We can make mistakes even in our judgment, and we may have some shortcomings. And I think it's the wisdom that the Prophet Muhammad actually utilized in talking to these two men coming to him. But subhanAllah, meaning Allah does not make mistakes, don't ever make mistakes. He's perfect in his judgment. And we get this throughout the Quran, that he knows the secrets of the heart. He knows what is revealed, what is concealed. No human being, not even God's prophets nor messengers, can know everything, can know all what is revealed and all what is concealed. I'll stop there and get some insights from you, Dr. Slodin. That's, I think it's a wonderful hadith in terms of actually striking the consciousness of both of these men. Dr.
Right. Yes, Mark, and to add to what you were saying about Allah's all-knowing, the writers added a quote that stated, should he not know what he created? And he is the soul, aware. This is to support what you just said.
Yes.
I'll just make that statement. Yeah, the point that I'd like to share that I noticed about this is that that the prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, put it back on the two men, the two believers.
Yes.
He took it because, you know, sometimes we go to people and we want them to take care of everything. We don't take any responsibility. It's all on you, right? And so, no, he put it back on them with that statement. And so to show them that they have responsibility too. And
yes.
whatever decision I make, you have a responsibility in that decision. So I thought that was one of the methods that we should keep in mind when we ourselves are seeking direction and seeking someone to make a decision about something that's related to us. And also when we're thinking, when we're working with our children, when we're talking and speaking to our children or helping them to make a decision about something, let them see that they too have a responsibility in the
situation. Yes. No, I think that's an excellent, excellent point that you're bringing out, Dr. Slaudin, a very, very sharp point, you know, because that's the big R, I always call it, which is responsibility, and the law charges all of that with the responsibility. And whenever we can accept the responsibility, it causes us to grow. And
right.
So we never want to abrogate responsibility, even in terms of our children. You know, oftentimes, especially when they begin to grow up and begin to think, you know, I've said many times here, a little light comes on in their head, you know. I got a mind of my own and everything. So in parenting skills, of course, the Bible doesn't say that, but I'm saying it here, is that we should test. We should test our children to see where they are. This Dr. Slaudin said, in terms of how the prophet, you know, put it back on them, you know. And obviously there was no animosity, there was no hatred or anything. And so you want to be able to resolve your issues, your problems in that regard, and to settle a disagreement. You know, be responsible and always look at things from more than just one perspective. I think that's another thing that is implicated there, you know, and all. So that was an excellent observation on your part, Dr. Slaudin. Thank you so much for that. And I think you began to go into the other part in terms of looking at Allah as the creator and he knowing what he has created. I think I kind of alluded to that a little bit there.
Right, you did. Yes, indeed. So we'll continue with that. Therefore, Quranic methodology tends to have a strong effect on people. The simplest and most direct and effective way of explaining a subject or trying to influence and affect someone's view is to use the language and methodology of the Quran. For example, some people insist on talking about Islamic creed, Aqidah, or explaining the attributes of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, in a very technical and academic way, using dry expressions and confusing language. Neither the Quran nor the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, ever presented Aqidah or the attributes of God in this way. For example, when the Quran talks about the about Allah's attribute of being Al-Qadir, which translates as the one who has the ability to do anything, it touches the souls and hearts of the readers by illustrating this attribute using a very interesting story, such as in Surah Baqarah. Al-Baqarah, yes. And this is the story. Or like the one who passed by a village, it had tumbled over its roofs. He said, oh, how would Allah ever bring it to life after its death? So Allah caused him to die for 100 years, then raised him up again. He said, how long did you remain? This, he is Allah. Allah said, how long did you remain dead? The man replied, perhaps I remained dead for a day or a part of a day. Allah said, no, you have remained dead for 100 years. Look at your food and your drink. They show no change. And look at your donkey. And thus we have made of you a sign for the people. Look at the bones, how we bring them together and clothe them with flesh. When this was clearly shown to him, he said, I know that Allah is able to do all things. And this is from chapter 2, verse 259. And we can stop there, Lamarck, if you would like to.
Alhamdulillah. So, Dr. Salahuddin, you know, when you look at that, is Allah revealing, and we know, you know, Allah has given to us in Surah Al-Imran, which is the third chapter of the Quran, and the seventh verse of the Quran, in terms of the composition of the book, and Allah teaches us in so many different ways. When you, this revelation that God has given us in Surah Al-Baqarah, in regards to that, what comes to mind first to and for you when you hear this is what Allah is revealing? You know, one of the things that come to mind to me, that Allah is unlimited, and Allah, there's no boundaries that we can put or restraints that we can put on Allah in this regard. What comes to you in your mind when you hear this part of the revelation and Allah showing that he has power over all things?
Having that type of knowledge, and I mean, when I say having that type of knowledge, it's more than just hearing it and being able to read it. So, yeah, I understand that. But knowing it, it's a deeper kind of knowing, because it's a knowing that when something happens or something doesn't go the way you want it to go, the first thing you think about is, well, you know, Allah is in charge of everything. Allah can do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's a way of thinking that goes beyond just being able to read it on the page and say, yeah, I got that. It becomes a part of your fabric. It becomes a part of who you are. And what that does, in my opinion, in my experience, is that relieves you of a lot of stress when you can understand that Allah can do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ask Allah for something, then you know that he can do it. And if he doesn't do it, if you ask and he doesn't do it, it means that that wasn't the best thing for you. It just relieves relieves the human being of a lot of stress, of worrying about things that they have no control over.
Yes.
That's what comes to mind for me.
Yes, I know that's very well said, Dr. Salahuddin, and because Allah is not limited. We're limited in understanding, but Allah has power over all things, and what it is, he can will into existence that which he pleases. He's not even limited by time. You know, we can go to sleep and become unconscious and not even know how long we've been sleeping. I mean, all of us have experienced that before, and especially if we just fall asleep and then all of a sudden we wake up, we have no sense of time. We may be looking for the clock or talking to the AI or looking at cell phones or whatever, you know, to actually get a sense of the time and maybe how long we went to sleep, if in fact that we can even tell then, because if we did it unconsciously and the body taking its rights, We won't even know how long it is we've been asleep. So we should be able to relate to Allah as not being limited in what it is that he can do, and that he's Al-Aleem. He's all-knowing. So I think it's a beautiful ayat in terms of teaching us in terms of his power, having power over all things and bringing into existence that which he pleases. Let's keep going. And want to say to our radio listening audience here, if you just tune in late, you are listening to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And we're looking at a very interesting, intriguing topic when it comes to touching the soul of our people, of our children, and then people too, you know, and also looking at striking the consciousness. And I know that's not the word that they, but making them become conscious. And so the Bashir's, this outstanding publication in terms of parenting skills based on the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet, and they will be giving some practical applications here. So we're going to get some practical applications that they'll be utilizing to show how you're able to do that. And before we go, I want to make some comments in terms of the consciousness and also the soul, and how that actually they actually work together. Dr. Slaudine, let's see what the Bashirs have to say.
Okay, continuing on, other examples of how Allah can do any, has the ability to do anything, are other examples of Allah's subhanahu wa ta'ala ability to do anything are in chapter Maryam, such as the story of Zachariah and the story of the miraculous birth of Isa, and that would be Jesus in English. When the Quran wants to illustrate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala attribute of Alim, El-Alim, which translates as the one who knows everything, again, it touches the hearts of readers with the eloquent language and wonderful presentation. For example, in the chapter El-An'am, Allah says, and with him are the keys of the ghaib, all that is hidden. None know them but he, and he knows whatever there is on the land and in the sea. Not a leaf falls without him knowing it. There is not a grain in the darkness of the earth, nor anything fresh or dry that is not written in a clear record. That is so beautiful, mashallah. Now, there is an example of how parents can use this method of touching the soul and awakening the conscience of their teenagers. During picnics or hiking trips, we should always try to allocate time to enjoy nature and observe the wonderful creation of Allah, such as various kinds of trees, flowers, ants, and bees. We should always make a positive comment linking the scenic nature to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and praise Allah for his wonderful creation. For example, if we observe the setting sun instead of watching it silently, we can say subhanallah or mashallah. This is just one of Allah's many creations. We can then recite the even at the car and encourage our children to do the same. This will soften their hearts and bring them closer to Allah's creation. And that's the end of it, Brother Mark.
Alhamdulillah. No, that's a beautiful ending here. And so, you know, the Bashirs actually, as Imam Muhammad has said to us, that Allah is always teaching us, is always teaching us. And, you know, this was pretty much designed for our older children, more like adolescents, in terms of touching the soul and also and bringing a consciousness to our children. And we've said before that Allah teaches us through two means. These are very important, noteworthy. Allah teaches us through two means. He first teaches us into with the natural creation, the natural world, the creation that Allah has created. And this is what the Bashirs are actually saying. You want to be able to touch the soul, and you want to awaken the consciousness of our children. You point to the natural creation, you know, because oftentimes, you know, even in living in the urban area, there's so many distractions that maybe the natural creation is not noticed. We're not even aware. Even adults are not even aware. This is why I think Dr. Saladin had opted to move more in the rural area, countryside, if you will, where it's obvious that this natural creation were those things that actually were named, that oftentimes are just overlooked or looked over. But the consciousness is related to the soul. We want to get the highest elevation of the soul, which is called nefs mukmaina. Nefs mukmaina mean that the soul is at peace, is pleased, and is pleasing to our Lord and Creator. Well, the conscious awareness of it is your surroundings and the natural surroundings and who provided these natural surroundings. And when they are pointed out to our young people, it touches the soul in terms of having the sacred regard, the love, the compassion that it is that Allah has showed to us. You know, when you want to look at love, we can look at love as best exemplified in Al-Rahman, the most merciful benefactor, who has given all this to us. You know, we can just talk about the sun until sunrise tomorrow and all it is that the sun actually does, not only for the human being, but for the rest of the natural creation. And this is studied in all of this. And you can have these are times whereas that you these become teachable moments, and it is a calm that comes over the soul in terms of awakening the soul. We call it being God conscious, being God conscious. And when we talk about, you know, what Imam Muhammad has said to us, that a word is anything that brings a message to your mind. So when we look at the natural creation and we study the natural creation, it brings many words to our mind that creates a soothing effect on the soul. Well, I could say a lot more in regards to that, but I think I'll stop there, Dr. Patricia Slaudin. I'm going to ask our radio listening audience, please press 1 if you have any questions or any comments that you would like to make or what you're hearing tonight. Is this resonating with you? Had you ever thought about that our children, they have souls? Nefsim Wahida. Wahida. Nefsim Wahida. There's only one soul, and that soul is for all human beings. And we are become, as the Prophet Muhammad has said, we become a vendor for our soul. And we want to be successful with the soul because the soul knows its goal. It wants to get back to that Jannah being a paradisical state, or, if you will, for our Christian brothers and sisters, a heavenly state. So it can't be chaos in the soul with not being consciously aware of what God's creation is, and it cannot be unconscious of revelation. These are the two means that I failed to say. That not only is natural creation, but it's revelation. These are the two means in which Almighty God strikes the soul. Strikes the soul. We've known those who read the Quran during the month of Ramadan, and it actually brings tears to their eyes in certain portions of reading this, reading revelation, what God is revealing to us And oftentimes the methodology that Dr. Salahuddin gave in terms of the Bashirs, this is the methodology. This could also be called, this is the way of Allah. This is the sunnah of Allah in terms of how he touches the soul and he brings a consciousness to all of us. And for those who are conscious and consciously regardful parents of God's word, his will, and his way, we have an obligation and a responsibility to teach this to our children. So I'll stop there, and please press 1, if you will, if you got a question or comment. This is your learning lab, and those who listen in by way of the Internet, you do have to dial in. That number is 714-816-4673. 714-816-4673. Or if you don't have a question or comment, if what you're hearing tonight, if it's resonating with you, Dr. Salahuddin and myself, we'd like to hear from you and all. And how important do you think that is when we're raising our children up, you know, in regards to their soul and their consciousness? Dr. Salahuddin, do we have any hands in the air?
Yes, we do.
Oh, okay. Rashid Salah. Come on, Rashid. Who we got?
Yes, sir. We have 718-724. Tell us what's going on.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As-salamu alaykum, Mark Shaheed.
Alaykum as-salam. And we know that famous voice. I know that famous voice, but, you know, there's always some new listeners. So tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
I'm Jeffrey McGillicuddy, also known as William Kareem from out of New York City.
All right. William Kareem, who is executive producer of New Day for Islam Community Radio. It's an honor that he's joined us here on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. Brother William Kareem, what you got? You got a question or comment? Add something
to
this.
Well, I want you to know, bro, that I did speak to your brother. Okay,
we made arrangements
to, you know, get together when he comes up, and I'd be honored to show him around. Oh, the other thing, but as far as this question, as far as the soul, is a very important question. And it's important, especially for our children, because this is the way that I'm going to give it to you. You know, Allah, you know, gives each one of us a soul, especially when we're born, you know. And my mother, okay, our mother, I'm going to use myself as an example. My mother, you know, took care of me and, you know, in birthing me, she carried me for that 9 months. And when I came out, you know, she took care of me. But the thing, what winded up happening is that, you know, she winded up getting distracted. And so she transferred me over to my grandmother, who was a little more disciplined. And my grandmother was the one that made me and my brother, made me say my prayers. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul keep. I'm sure you know that prayer.
Yeah,
and every Sunday, we're talking about the soul, and every Sunday, you know, she would send us. We had church suits. We had a suit, we had a shirt and a tie, and we put on that suit, shirt and tie, and she would send us to Sunday school. And this was where I learned about all the prophets. We're still talking about the soul. We're talking about the soul, you know, and then I went to school, and when I went to school, you know, there were teachers that helped to develop the mental, you could tell that these were people who cared. They cared because, you know, they gave to us, and when, especially when it came to music and performing arts, I had a teacher that trusted me, and she trusted me so much that when she saw the potential in me, and what she would do is she would give me lead parts in plays. She would give me lead parts because she taught me how to play the violin, and she would give me lead parts in the orchestra. She would put me on the stage by myself out of 60 children. She believed in me where she gave me a platform to go ahead and perform solo pieces.
Yeah.
Still talking about the soul. okay?
Yes.
But these are people that took the time and that were interested, you know, because then they were helping us to develop. My question is, you know, do as parents, I have to mention this too, that my father was an alcoholic, but my father would take the time. He would come and get me and take me over to his room and sit me down and just tell me all about himself and all the things. I mean, you could feel the sincerity, you know, that I was like his therapist. He would just talk to me about all the things that went on in his life, but I was able to receive that. We're still talking about the soul. His soul, and he was transferring information to me. He would say things like, greater love has no man than this that lays down his life for his friends.
Oh,
it's nice
powerful.
To be nice,
yes.
But it's not nice to be too nice. So he would say these things, and I accepted it. We're still talking about the soul.
The soul.
The question.
Now, you got to leave a little time because I think we got some more behind you there.
Okay. All right. But now this is the question that I'm asking, Mark.
Okay.
Do we have the same kind of parents that take the time with their children today, or are we allowing the soul to be developed by social media? Can social media develop the soul? That's the question.
Okay, excellent question. Thank you so much, my brother and friend, William Kareem. Excellent thought-provoking question, and we might not be able to do it justice tonight, but we will say something in regards to that. Thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum. Press 1 as you go out, William. Yeah, and we're going to try to address it, but I'm going to do it this way. Rashid Salam, who else we have with their hand in the air? Let's see what they have to say. Rashid Salam, take yourself off of mute.
I'm sorry, Mark. We have 203-804. Please state your name. Okay. Tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is open.
This is Yusuf Ibn Shah from New Haven, Connecticut.
Alhamdulillah. Welcome.
Okay.
Go ahead, my brother. You got a question or comment?
No, Mark, I'm sorry. Those are your guests. I'm sorry. The two hands that are raised.
Where's my guest?
Your guest for MGM Roundtable. Okay. No problem.
Oh, okay. Okay. So do we have anybody else outside of the guests for the MGM Roundtable on?
Not at this time, Mark. Not at this time.
Did the brother say he was Salam? Out of New, are you sure? Give me that number again.
No, that's him. That's
okay.
Hang on, just 1 second. We have, that was Yusuf Shaw's number that I clicked on.
Oh, that's Yusuf Shaw. Okay, yeah, he is.
Yeah.
Yes, okay. Alhamdulillah. Rashid, do you have a question or comment that you'd like to make to this before I get Dr. Salahuddin and myself to respond to William's question?
No, I don't. We do have 646-425. Please state your name.
Let's get them in. Yeah, you have about a minute here. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, you're on live. You're on IWDM Radio, and you're on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. You got a question or comment, please?
I just want to let you know. This is Bilal Abdul Salam. I'm on my mind.
Oh, okay, Brother Salam. So you just tuning in, listening in, correct?
Correct.
Okay. All right. So if you're going to be on with us next the next hour, just be a little patient. We're finishing up the first hour, so we'll get back with you when we have our guest on the MGM Roundtable. Dr. Saldi, I'm going to let you go first. You heard William Kareem's question in terms of the parents today. Very thought-provoking question. Looking at the parents of yesterday, and he actually chronicling his own life in terms of the social environment which he came up in and everything. What do you think today overall is in terms of the consciousness of the parents in terms of the obligation and responsibility that they have and they owe to their children? Dr. Salahuddin?
Mark, I think the responsibility is the same. How the parents of today view that responsibility may vary and different. May they vary, and it also may differ from what we have from the past. I'm sure in the past we've had parents who were not responsible, but sometimes, most of the time, there was that grandparent right there behind them, and they could take over where the parent may have fallen short. Whereas today, because of the way we live far away from our parents and our children's grandparents, and they aren't there to step in and take charge of situations that are not as favorable to the children as they should be. I think the parents can be just as responsible for their children as the parents in the past. We have Quran, we have, especially Muslim parents, we have the Quran, we have the Prophet of the Prophet, conducted upon him. We have everything we need in order to raise our children in the way of Allah and to raise them to be conscious and aware of their Creator. We have everything that we need. It's just a matter of, are we willing to turn to that, and are we willing to use that to raise our children? And then he asked the question, are we letting social media? In some cases, yes, we are. We are letting social media develop the soul. Now, will it develop the soul the way Allah would develop the soul from the Quran and the Hadith of Prophet Muhammad to develop it upon him? No, we won't do that. So we're in a position now that it's not the most favorable environment that we have, but we can make it that way. It's not law.
Yes, ma'am.
We have everything.
Alhamdulillah. No, I wish we had more time because I'd like to offer some commentary, but we have about a minute or two over, and everything. But I'm going to ask William Kareem. That would be a good opportunity for us to tune in next week, and I promise that I will make some commentary on that. But it's an excellent question, thought-provoking question. And then it also has provoked other questions. I think Dr. Claudine, are we doing that? I think that that's one of the things. And it was that, are we doing that? What it is that we have, there's no doubt about it, but are we doing that? And are we living the Quran? You know, are we striving to the best of our ability to live the life in terms of followers of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? That becomes the real question today and everything, so we won't be able to answer right now. But we want to thank our radio listeners for this first hour, and also Dr. Claudine for your insight and wisdom that you share each and every Wednesday, except for the first Wednesday of the month, with our radio listening audience. So I'm going to give you the salams, Dr. Claudine. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you, Brother Mark.
And thank you. And I want to thank the radio listeners for tuning in the first hour. We get ready to take a pause for the cause, but I'm going to ask you to stick and stay. Please don't stray away, because we will be coming right back with the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. So stick and stay. We're going to take a pause for the be right back. Rashid.
In my music, take a listen. You can
Shahid, and I want to thank Brother Wilmore Siddiqui, my good brother and friend. There is always a message in the music. And, well, I always like to start with each production with Bismillah Rahman Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ashhadu la ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu, wa shahadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All the praise and thanks belongs to God, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian, evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble and generous messenger, and what follows in an excellent salutation of prayers and peace be upon the prophet. I am Mark Shahid, and I am the host and the producer of the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. I'd like to extend the greetings of peace, the peace that only Almighty God, Allah, can give. And it's an obligation on the giver as well as the recipient of the greeting to our national and international audience here on IWDM Radio, and that is Assalamu Alaikum. And we want to welcome you to the MGM Roundtable, where each and every Wednesday, for those who tune in, I'd like to bring and present to you very distinguished and esteemed guests here in the community of Imam W.D. Muhammad, and also outside of the community of Imam W.D. Muhammad, and topics that are pertinent to us as a community. No less today, as I'm honored to have with us from Mount Vernon, New York, a good brother and friend and colleague, Brother Imam Musa Abdullah Ali, and also our good brother and friend, Yusuf Shaw II, as our honored guest here on the MGM Roundtable. And I'd like to extend the greetings to both of you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alhamdulillah. I think I heard your voice, Imam Musa. Is our brother, press one, if you would, please. Yusuf Shaw II, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am here.
Okay, assalamu alaikum to you, and welcome to the MGM Roundtable.
Wa alaikum assalam, thank you.
Yes, alhamdulillah, it's an honor to have both of you here on the MGM Roundtable, the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, and I always like to maximize the minimum here, which is always time and all, and you know, I think it's not a secret as to what is going on in Mount Vernon there in terms of a new Yusuf Shaw Islamic Center for the believers there, longtime believers, pioneers there, and having a better place. And also we're going to be looking at some of the features of this new home for the believers there. But there's some business got to be taken care of, and that is helping to raise the rest of the money that's going to be needed to purchase this building so that believers can have a place to pray, but also in terms of community outreach, and we're going to be getting this information from Imam Musa in a little bit. But I want our radio listening audience to know, especially those who have not been in the community for a long time, have been around like me since the 60s, and actually was familiar with the name. The name as the Believers, obviously this was a big shore. Shore being whereas the mutual consultation as Imam Muhammad gave us this opportunity to select names for our masjids and our Islamic centers, and each community could independently select a name. And so this name, Yusuf Shah, resonates all throughout the community, especially in the Lost Found Nation of Islam in the wilderness of North America. That was the first name in terms of under the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the leadership of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he was known as Captain Yusuf Shah. So it's, I really have the pleasure and the honor of having his son on, and want to give you the first opportunity to give us a thumbnail sketch, if you would, Yusuf Shah the second, in terms of your father. You know, who was Yusuf Shah? And I got to refrain from calling him Captain Yusuf Shah, because even after the transitioning to the leadership of Imam Muhammad, many still affectionately refer to him as Captain Yusuf Shah. Welcome, Yusuf Shah the second. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Brothers and sisters, I thank you, beloved brother, for giving us the opportunity to be on your program, and we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us the opportunity to broadcast and to have good words of Islam to talk over the airways to our believers and to express ourselves Islamically on programs such as yours. We want to say that first and foremost. It's very, very important to all of us in our community. Yusuf Shah, first and foremost, as my father, as I know him, what I can say about him, he was a believer. Me.
Mm-hmm.
And that I remember about him, first and foremost, he loved his job as a captain for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad because he loved his mission.
Yes.
And his mission was to make this message of Islam reach the masses of the community. That was his job.
Mm-hmm.
In order for him to do that, he needed a group of men in order to carry that message in any way, shape, fashion possible in the way in which he needed to do it. And so he needed an army of men.
Yes.
In order to do it. And so Master Elijah Muhammad, in his wisdom, he had to get men who understood how to discipline those who needed that type of regimented studies and that regimented, forceful regimented study so that they would be uplifted and put in ranks to understand a mission and a direction.
Yes.
And so because my father and his family was a part of the Moorish America movement prior to the development of the Nation of Islam.
Mm-hmm.
Because his father, Joseph Gravett Eel, was one of the top ministers under that particular movement, which also studied Islam. See, my father was a Muslim and studied Islam long before any of us really understood, because his father was a Muslim. His father was murdered. My grandfather was murdered as a minister in the Moorish America movement. So there's a long history of Islam in our family, and my father just picked up the baton when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad needed a brother in Detroit.
Yes.
So when he began to understand what was needed, he had just gotten out of the army, and so he had this talent. And he had the spirit of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had a good judgment of character. He saw that my father understood the mission, and he knew that he had the spirit of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he was able to match him with the right orator, Malcolm X.
Yes.
And so with that pair going up and down the East Coast, there was nothing stopping the most of the opening of the temples, because my father was able to move the crowd, and the minister was able to teach the crowd.
Yes.
So the combination was unstoppable. So this is the type of man my father was. My father was a great organizer. He was a great a teacher of men. And he was a great teacher of families. And he was a great lover of community.
Yes.
He loved community. And he understood that if we didn't have strong communities, strong black communities, strong Islamic communities,
yes,
we would never be able to push and establish the Quran and Sunnah in our community and have the things that we have today.
Yes.
Many would even have a Quran in the prison systems if it was not for the fortitude and the push that we had in our communities, if it was not for this type of movement, these regimented ranks.
Yes.
And my father had to teach the men and the women in ranks. He had himself, and he had Sister Captain Clotel.
You know,
he had a momentous job, and he was a great teacher, and it was because of a believer. He really believed, and because he always thought little of himself. He was very humble man. And because he didn't go to a college. He went to the army. So he didn't really go to a college or anything, but he could read and write. But he didn't go to a college. He didn't think that he was as smart as, you know, maybe all the others that, you know, went to a college or anything like that.
Yes.
So
yes.
He always would admire other people who had that kind of knowledge.
Yes, yes.
You know, but let me tell you, he had all of his books, and he read all of his information, and he had volumes and volumes of his Quran and his Sunnah in the early days. And even in the days when people, you know, didn't think that we had Quran. I remember Quran and Sunnah as far as I could remember back in the 1970s. That's when I first saw a Quran. I learned the Al-Fatiha in 1968 when I was 7 years old.
From
Mesio Hazid in New York. So we were always on this path that Imam Worthuddin Muhammad was bringing us on. We were just embarking upon it, and the information and the wisdom was always there, and he was always learning
and always pushing himself to learn more and more and more. He was a learner.
Yes.
So when you ask me who was Yusuf Shah, man, he was many things, but he was a believer.
Yes. Let's say this, you know, that first and foremost, he was a believer, and what you've given us and what you've given the radio listening audience, many, perhaps the new Captain Yusuf Shah, or actually heard of Captain Yusuf Shah, you've given a lot of information that many would not have known in regards to him. So I want to just get you a very succinct answer, you know, in regards to this, because I want to get Imam Musa in here, because I was very much aware that when Imam Muhammad gave us the authorization in terms of actually naming our masjids and our Islamic centers, and even distinguishing, should we call it a masjid from a center, and all of this, and in advising us, this was on the autonomy of the various cities and municipalities all across the country. And so, obviously, the voice of choice was because of the great contribution and the work, the tireless effort that was put forth by Captain Yusuf Shah, that your center, your Islamic center, should wear his name in that regard. So this is a sign of the great work and pioneerness of not only Captain Shah, but many of the believers that's there, and in the recognition of that. So that's very important. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave him that name, Yusuf Shah. I want you to be very, very succinct, because I want our radio listening audience to know who this man Yusuf Shah is, and now it bears the name of Yusuf Shah Islamic Center, and what's about to happen, and you have this opportunity to actually help to contribute to this history of this great individual that dedicated most of his life to this way that we now have. Ibn, if you would please, just give us a thumbnail sketch, maybe say a couple, 2 or 3 minutes. I don't know if you can do it, but that's the challenge that you got here.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Clarify that the question.
Well, yeah, you know, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, actually, you know, there were some that was in the Nation of Islam that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad actually gave names to. Many were known, like Minister Louis Farrakhan. He gave him the name Farrakhan. Of course, Cassius
right.
Clay became Muhammad Ali. And there were others.
Oh, wow,
Honorable Elijah Muhammad actually gave names to, like we had Minister Clyde X here, who became Clyde Rahman, and it was Honorable Elijah Muhammad that gave him the name Rahman. And there's others, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, you know, in that regard.
Well,
and actually, you all, you know, although your father, mother had that name, but you all, as the story goes, had a choice after Imam Muhammad came to leader. So pick it up from there and see if you can do that in 2 or 3 minutes for me.
Well, yes, sir. Well, we, as you know, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and his wisdom gave my father his name, Yusuf Shah. My father's given name is, of course, Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
But he always, even before he gave a holy name, he always called him Yusuf.
Mm-hmm.
So when he began to give names, he says, well, he told my father, he said, well, your name is Yusuf.
Yeah.
You will no longer be named as Joseph, Captain Joseph. Your
mm-hmm.
name will be Yusuf, and
mm-hmm.
your holy name will be Shah. Now, he gave reasons why other people had other names, like Farrakhan, Rahman, and he gave explanations of why he gave those names.
Mm-hmm.
But when he told my father his name was Shah, he didn't tell my father why he said his name was Shah. And my mother asked him, because my mother said, well, Joseph, why did he say that, did he give you Shah?
Mm-hmm.
He said, well, Sylvia, he never told me why our name was Shah. He just said, he said my name, he said our name was Shah, and that was it.
Yeah.
And he said, I didn't ask. He said, I just didn't ask him why. And he said, and, you know, sometimes the messenger would just do things, and you just didn't ask him why.
Yeah.
And so when Imam Warsa bin Muhammad came in after 1975, a lot of us, we had our holy names, but then most of us were beginning to transition our names legally in the United States. And that took a probate matter in most states.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so between 76, 77, 78, you know, 79, the latest, people were beginning to, you know, get all of that information and stuff in order. And I know my parents probably had, you know, the paperwork probably before then. But just around then, you know, my mother and father were getting around to getting all of that done with us. Now, I'm in the middle of six children. My father has six. My mother and father have six.
Yes.
I have two older sisters, and it was me. And then I have two younger siblings.
Mm-hmm.
So he sat us, my mother and father sat all six of us around the table.
Mm-hmm.
And now the four of us, you know, were old enough, I guess, to answer these questions, I think, you know, and two of us were younger, you know, they weren't able to answer.
Right.
But, you know, my father said, well, listen, we, you know, Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave us our names, but we also have given names, you know, prior to this, and we have, you know, the birth certificates for both names.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to give y'all the opportunity right now for you to choose. He gave us a choice as to which names we wanted to take. Do you want to take the given names that we have, or do you want to take the names that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave us?
Yes, yes.
So we had, my father had both birth certificates. My mother and father had both birth certificates. So I have two older sisters, myself and my brother, right? So it's basically the four of us.
Right,
so
right.
So for me, I mean, my father said, okay, Yusuf, what do you want to do, Yusuf? So for me, the choice was easy. I said, well, come on, give me my Yusuf shot.
Right. Yes, sir.
Because I've been waiting for a long time for this.
Right, right.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
So, and, you know, and my brother, you know, my brother is the same, you know. And my sisters, you know, they hesitate. They ponder.
Mm-hmm.
I turned around. I looked at them. I'm like, well, what? You know?
Mm-hmm.
My father looked at me and said, well, okay, you sir, you made your decision. Now, you're excused. You can leave now. I said, well, wait a minute. I want to. I said, no, son. You can leave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I had to leave the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to figure out. I said, "Well, wait a minute. What was the big decision? What was the big decision about?" For me, it was simple.
Mm-hmm.
But for them, it was not. So I said, "Well, you know, my and it's to me, it was very, very deep for me because, you know, the first Muslims that my father had to raise were two women. And they were my two sisters. And when I tell you those two women love Allah and they understand Quran and Sunnah, let me tell you something. Them two sisters, when I tell you they will let you know how to obey Allah, they let you know how to obey Allah.
Yes, sir. Alhamdulillah. So, Ibn, they did a little pondering there. Get to that and, you know, and then also let the radio listening audience know what it was that they said to you. That even at that time, and then we're gonna get to Imam Musa in regards to this new Islamic center. Please.
Well, they pondered, and I you know, after the meeting, I don't challenge anybody's faith. I mean, because their faith is strong, and because they strengthened my faith, they changed my faith as a Muslim. They taught me how to get strong Muslim. So I asked my sister, I said, what did you have to think about? She said, Yusuf, she said, it was a choice.
Yes.
She said, didn't Allah say ponder much?
Mm-hmm.
I said, yes, ma'am. I said, yes, she said. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, That's true, she said, and you know, you should always consider the choices.
Mm-hmm.
You could. And I said, you know what? I said, you know, you're right. You know, and I, you know, because you know, I wasn't thinking like that. For me, it was different. See, women think differently, and see, that's why Allah put women as here to balance us. See, we have to understand that sometimes. We have to understand all the time that Allah set up balances here.
Yes.
And they have and they help to teach us. And so I say that to say that, you know, my father put a high value in teaching the sisters and his daughters. He put high value. And so I thank you, beloved brother, you know, for giving me the opportunity to let you know a little bit about what my father was
about. Yeah, I want to thank you, Ibn, you know.
Because I love him and I miss him every day.
Yes.
He loved this community.
Mm-hmm.
And if I tell you something, he would be breakdancing in the street if actually see.
Yes, alhamdulillah.
Work we're doing in Mount Vernon and what Musa Ali and the community is doing there and how we're progressing in the Yusuf Shah Islamic Center. I know.
His soul would really be happy in regards to that.
All
the work that he's done and everything. So you can stick and stay, don't stray away. Please don't stray away. We're gonna take a slight pause for the cause, and when we come back, we're gonna come back with Imam Musa, and he's going to give us all the updated information on how this is coming.
Love me. Yes, it's true. And for his love said there is nothing I wouldn't do. I wouldn't do. He's there. Every situation, he's there. Nation after nation, he's there. With the imams of our mission, he's there. To change the world's condition, Allah really loves me. Yes, he does. He showers down his mercy in raindrops of love. Allah really loves me. Yes, it's true. And for his love and mercy, there is nothing I wouldn't do. I wouldn't do. He's there. In bad situations, he's there. Helping me be patient. He's there. When I need someone to talk to, he's there. With tender loving care, Allah really loves me. Yes, he does. Showers down his mercy in raindrops of love. Allah really loves me. Yes, it's true. And for his love and mercy, there is nothing I wouldn't do.
Yes, and we're back, and I am Mark Shaheed. I'm the host and the producer of the MGM Roundtable, the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, that's heard each and every Wednesday night here on IWDM Radio. And boy, what an excellent selection by Engineer Rashid Salam. Yes, Allah really loves us and what it is that he's given to us. And we're talking about Yusuf Shah, the Yusuf Shah, Captain Yusuf Shah, and how much he actually loved this community. And in honor of him and his dedication and work, the believers there in Mount Vernon actually have chosen his name many years ago to be the name on the Islamic Center there. I want to thank his son, Yusuf Ibn Shah, for coming on and giving us a little background on his father, and we have to get him back at another time and give him more time. But I want to go to you, my good brother and friend, colleague, Imam Musa. Assalamu alaikum and welcome once again. Thank you for being patient, and we want to welcome you to the MGM Roundtable. Brother Imam.
Alaikum assalam, Brother Mark. Alhamdulillah. I first want to thank you and your listeners at the MGM listening audience for this opportunity. And I want to thank our brother and Imam Yusuf Ibn Shah for his historic message about his father, about his family, about his history. May Allah continue to bless the Shah family and grant them and grant Yusuf Shah, Captain, what his wife told me when I spoke to her one time, he was the regional East Coast captain. He wasn't
That's
just
right.
the captain. So, because we had on our history, he was just the captain. She said, "No, sir." I said, "Yes, ma'am." We made the correction immediately, and I thank God for him and his work in not only New York but all over the country.
That's right. So, yes, very well said, Brother Imam Musa. He was known all over the country, you know, Captain Yusuf Shah. He was the regional captain for the East Coast there, but very well respected all across the country. And, you know, the believers name, you know, your Islamic Center in that regard. Opportunity has availed itself, Brother Imam Musa, there, and we know it's a blessing from Allah to be able to find a building that will be accommodating for the believers there, as many of our communities in the Association Imam W.D. Muhammad, we have older believers, pioneers that have worked many, many years in sacrifice and all, and the present building that you're in is not really accommodating. But Allah has blessed you to be able to find and locate a building. Why don't you inform our radio listening audience how all this has transpired and what is needed, you know, by the believers from this community in terms of helping to secure it, if you would, please. And once again, welcome to the MGM Roundtable.
Yes, sir, alhamdulillah, we thank you. Well, first, I want to say that I believe it was always the mission of the community that was once formerly known as Jihad Dawah Center,
mm-hmm.
and then transitioned to Masjid Yusuf Shah
mm-hmm.
under Imam John Nasheed. I believe it was always their mission to find a location that would be suitable for the community, the entire community. But we know things called finances and locations always play a part. And
mm-hmm.
over the last 12 years, I've been there. I've been the imam of February 11th, I believe it's the exact date, 2011.
Mm-hmm.
I became the president imam there. And it was always, I continued that, I believe, mission of finding a location. But there was always challenges. Mount Vernon, if you don't know anything about Mount Vernon, is only 4 square miles, so it's not a very big location. And it is also known to be a location full of religious centers, meaning churches, some synagogues, and masjids in Islamic centers, places that the Muslims go and pray. So it was difficult, and it has been difficult for the years that we were there because it was always a zoning issue. And if it wasn't a zoning issue, it was a financial issue. So, you know, they don't give people property for free all the time. I know there's some things that people have in their community where they say, well, you know, you can buy it from the city. And the city would probably do that. But the city, because of prior mismanagement and mismanagement of leadership, corrupt leadership, they are still not able to nail down properties that the city may have. So there's always been a campaign from the common believer there, the believer that comes there every Friday to find another location. So we had various people on like a committee, starting with my former assistant, Imam Abdulaziz, who is now the resident imam of Masjid Adam Human Life Center in the Bronx, and Sister Emily and Brother Yusuf Azuruddin. These are all pioneers in our community. And they and now Sister Aisha, who has joined Sister Emily in this work of finding a new location. So once a year, Imam John Nasheed in the community has what is called a Women's Awards banquet or brunch or breakfast. And this year on January 8th, which we normally have it on January 1st, but this year, because of timing and some other situations, we did it on January 8th. And this particular year, we had our mayor, Sean Patterson Howard, who was doing an outstanding job in Mount Vernon. Under all the pressures that former leadership have left it in, they left it in such a disarray. She's doing, I guess, the very best she can. And we had the county legislator there, Tyree Samuel Woodson. And then we had the city council representatives there, excuse me. And they know the work we have been doing for the last 12 years. And they all pledged their support publicly to the audience, to us, to the community, that they would work very hard to help us find another location. Now, you may ask, well, what's wrong with the location you have? It's a three-story walk-up. Now, it's a three-story walk-up, and we have pioneers that are currently in their 80s who were probably 30 or maybe 40 maybe even 50 years old when they got the building. And that 3-4 walk up becomes a struggle for them.
Yes.
As well as those who may have mobile issues, meaning that they can't, they may be on a walker, they may
yes.
be in a wheelchair, they may be dealing with mobile issues where they can't
mm-hmm.
walk up the three flights of stairs.
Yes.
So that was always a concern for me. I believe it was a concern for Imam John Nasheed. So when the city did this on January 8th, they immediately got to work with us, and they kind of like contracted a young man, Mr. Charles Hines, who
mm-hmm.
was who represents them, who kind of represents the city. He's like the go-between the city and us, and he's been looking at some properties, and there's been some amazing properties that he showed us. But they were always $4, $5, maybe $6 million, $3 million, $2 million, and that's hard on a poor community. I mean, all these masjids and even churches run by African Americans a lot of time are not run by wealthy people.
Yes.
And that's a challenge. So we've been for the last several years, even before COVID, we have tried to put ourselves in a position where if property became available, we would have some sort of capital, some skin in the game, as they say, right? And that opportunity came. Unfortunately, COVID came. So
mm-hmm.
we started out with a larger number, but right now that number became, I think, 120,000. I may be off 1,000 or 2, or I may be off under or off over. I'm not exactly sure because I don't have the current treasury report that our treasury gives every week and then presents to the community every month. So we have a property, and it's 11,000 square feet. It's actually a few stairs, but once we obtain the property, we're going to put a ramp there just for those situations and conditions that would be able to, so they could be able to go to the masjid and the Islamic Center and things like that. And the asking price is $8,900, right? But we have a dynamite contractor and Sister Khadija Adams, and we have a dynamite team that is ensuring that when we go before to make this last final deal, it won't be nowhere near $900,000. It'll be a lot less. And and what we're doing now, we're raising money to meet the 30% down. And the 30% down on $800,000 is $260,000. $260,000. So that's what we're working at right now. And in this 11,000 square feet, Brother Mark, you know, it would amaze you that this was formerly the Italian Civic Center, known as Italian Civic Association. And this 11,000 square feet, it has a banquet hall. So it has a potential to obtain revenue for the community as well. Because people get married, people have birthdays, people have celebrations, and we can rent that out to the community as long as they follow the building's rules. Of course, there will be no alcohol. Of course, there will be no pork products. But if you're having a wholesome family day, you can rent it out. And also, we have 6 offices that's going to be downstairs. And we have what is called, we have our different offices. We have our treasury department. We have, which right now the treasury and the secretary, they share office. But we also have a situation in our community where we have some talented individuals who work in the mental health and youth field. So my assistant, he has been working in Mustafa. He's been working with you for the last 20-some-odd years. my wife is now preparing to get her license as a mental health counselor. So there, and then we have another brother, Dr. Basim, who's been doing mentoring and education. So we're going to put a component there that would meet all of those community needs for our community, because we don't want it just to have a place to pray. I mean, prayer is very important in the Muslim life. But I think if we are really studying the Quran as we should be studying, and the teachings of our Imam, Imam Waterfuddin Muhammad, and following the guidance from the Quran, that we would be doing a lot more than just offering prayer. We would be doing something that helped resurrect and restore the fallen human being, to revitalize the life that has been taken away from them by the influences and the interaction of the world that Satan is producing in social media, in our homes, and things like that. So we want to do a whole lot more than just offer prayer. We want to make it a center, a multi-purpose center for all of our people in Mount Vernon and the neighboring cities. So it's not just a place for prayer. We're going to be looking at, and we've already established some of these things already. Currently, right now, we give out every Friday, Brother Mark, 1,400 meals to the city of Mount Vernon and its neighbors. These are hot halal meals produced by a brother. Brother, we call him, his name is Abdul Jalil, but we affectionately call him Red Man because he has red hair. And him and his partner, Brother Jam, they make these meals. They have a licensed food service business, and they make these meals in partnership with Islamic Relief USA. So every Friday, we give to schools. We give to Meals on Wheels. We give to shelters. We give to the neighbors out right in the street. We give all 1,015 meals every Friday. We've been doing that for the last 5 to 6 months. So we want to increase that kind of work. And we need our community's help. We really do need our community's help. We need our and Brother Mark, I know we don't have a lot of millionaires in our community. We do. We have some. We have some wealthy people. But I know, you know, life is you know, the more money you make, the more issues you have. So I'm asking all of the common people, right? I'm asking the rich folks. I'm asking our millionaires. I'm asking our business people, as we are taught that the business people should be the ones up and maintain the masjid. We understand that concept, but I'm also asking that we all of us who are Muslims and not, because Brother Mark, you'd be surprised. I have a very good friend. He's a pastor, and this pastor here, Brother Mark, he has invited me over the last 2 years on their biggest day on Easter, not just to come join the service and listen to them, but to recite the Quran in Arabic and give comments from the Quran.
Allahu Akbar, alhamdulillah. You know, Brother Imam Musa, that what you just said is so vitally important. You know, this is one of the first things, as you well know, when Imam Muhammad became the leader, one of the first things he did was establish alliances. And I'm just saying to our radio listening audience, this is so very, very important. As we listen to Imam Musa in terms of the alliances, the relationships that they have established and all. So as Muslims, as believers in this community, Allah has said in the Quran, spend out of that which we have provided for you.
Yes.
I make an appeal to the radio listening audience, and I never ask people to do something that I don't and won't do, is to give. You know, everything that is really alive, and especially when we're consciously alive, it gives, it should be giving. And this is how we continue to live. This is how Captain Yusuf Shah continues to live in terms of what he was giving, you know. And it don't have to be a lot. You know, Allah is the best knower.
Right.
I'm a man on fixed income, but, you know, I always jokingly say, well, you're on a fixed income, that means you fix. But I'm not fixed to the point where never been a time in my life I couldn't give something that often remember what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said. There's never time in the believer's life that they can't give some sadaqa, some charity, if it's no more than just a smile. I think a smile is something in terms of approval. You know, we are to enjoin. I'm just giving you what God says, not what I say or what I'm thinking. Just like Imam Muhammad, he said, God says. He says that you should enjoin all that's good.
Yes.
All it is that we've heard is good. And, you know, there's nothing that it is that we do that go unnoticed by Allah. You know, so whatever it is that you have, whatever that you can give, you know, Imam Musa, you take it large, you take it small, you take it all. Am I correct?
Yes, yes, sir. Brother Mark, I'm not, again, if you all, if all you have is $10, and that's all you have, alhamdulillah.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to remind us, as the Quran reminds us, strive in a race to all that is beneficial. And,
yes.
And believe me, if you only have 10, then I implore you to get your network to say, hey, there's a worthy program going on, worthy fundraiser. Let's compete. Let's all give 10, 20, whatever you have, and let's make this thing. At this project at Yusuf Shah Islamic Center at 208 North Fifth Avenue become a reality, because it's going to be a blessing and a beacon of light for our whole community. It is going to revitalize, I believe, some of the issues that we have in the Northeast about being stagnant or something like this. This will give a new spirit, a new energy to say that Al-Islam in New York and across the country is still alive, because they took very little and made a lot, inshallah.
Yes, alhamdulillah. That's very well said, and I concur with you 100%. I want to give you the opportunity, Imam Musa, you know, to give that information in terms of how the believers
yes.
can actually give. But before I do that, and I know that you have a very important meeting coming up in a few minutes, so I'm going to try to stay within that time frame so that you can be present. We also want you to know that Imam Musa Abdullah Ali, he's also the Northeastern sectional convener. So he's a hard working brother, very sincere, and we should feel an obligation to help in this, because we're really one big family. We say community, but you can't get community without family.
That's
and
right.
So, you know, we should feel that as an obligation, as he said, to give whatever it is that we can give, regardless of how small it is, it's going to help. And, you know, the former president, Barack Hussein Obama, he actually revised, you know, how a man can get elected, because he took quite a few people that gave a little. And when he got through, he was able to exceed the amount that they would give to a presidential candidate. A lot of people don't know that he actually changed the way that campaigning would be done. He'd go down, you know, as a historical president, as a president candidate, in terms of how he campaigned. He
yeah.
took a lot of people that gave $10, $20, $25,
yeah.
$30. That's not a lot of money. But when you get a lot of people that do that, then it begins to really, really, really add up. So I want to go to Rashid Salam first and foremost, and you know, we got Imam Musa here on the phone, and if you have a question, a comment, very quickly that you would like to ask to him before he has to depart and everything, this will be your time to do that. Press 1 if you would, please. Rashid Salam, do we have anybody with their hands up want to ask a question or make a
sure.
comment on anything that he said? Let's go, Rashid.
Yes. Yes, sir. We have 704-649. Please state your name. Tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is open. 704-649. Your mic is open.
Alaikum.
Alaikum as-salam. Welcome.
Just, Yeah, thank you, Brother Mark. This is Brother Rahman Khan. I am supporting my brother and friend, Imam Musa Abdul Ali, who's doing a wonderful job here at the Mount Vernon. And I'm just here saying we pray that this effort is going to be successful. And we're standing right there with them to help support whatever we need to do to get to this new bill.
Yes, sir. Alhamdulillah. Well, I know he's a hard worker and all, and he's just following in the footsteps of some other great hard workers there in Mount Vernon. And we talked a little bit about Captain Yusuf Shaw and the work that he's done there. And, you know, so we have to all just pitch in, give whatever it is that we can give to make this become a reality. And who knows what you may give, and that might be your ticket to the Jannah. So, alhamdulillah. Thank you so much, my brother, you know, for calling and being supportive of, you know, the Imam Musa and the believers in the work that they're doing. And we owe this to the pioneers.
Yeah.
It brings tears to my eyes to thinking about the pioneers, the shoulders that we now stand up on, in terms of how they have made many, many sacrifices. And, you know, and being a pioneer here, and, you know, I have many stories. Sometimes it's amusing to the believers in terms of what it is that we did to try to establish this way of life. So we owe that to our beloved pioneers that are still with us, to give them a better building accommodation. And the other thing, very important, that Imam Musa, it can't be underscored, they're actually going to be using this building. It's a multi-purpose building in community outreach. This was done during the time of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is very, very important. And this also was a message to us by our beloved leader and teacher, Imam Warthuddin Muhammad. So press 1 if you got a quick question or a comment you'd like to make. Before Imam Musa, I have to go. Rashid, any other hands in there?
Yes, sir. We have 478-672. Please state your name and tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is open.
Hajalala, New York / Fort Valley. I am. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum, you two brothers. And you said a mouthful, Brother Mark.
Alhamdulillah.
Supporter of Yusuf Shaw, alhamdulillah, Rafi Alameen.
Yes, ma'am.
Bless them and they get it done.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you. Allah bless you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, my dear sister, for calling in and the support. And may Allah continue to bless you and us. Assalamu alaikum. Press 1 as you go out. Any other hands in the air?
Yes, we do. Yeah, we have 312-366, please state your name and tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is open.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Amir Muhammad on the other line. Give a greeting to everyone and to say to Brother Musa, I'm so proud of you and your efforts. And by the grace of Allah, I'm going to do everything I can within that for myself, and as well as engaging other people to support this great, great, great effort. My mother was a pioneer. She's been in community since I think we came here in 1963. So I know what her struggles was for herself as well as for her and her children and her commitment to the community to the day she died. So
Allah bless you.
So you'll be hearing from me. My name will be ringing all over the place, not just mine, but my padres. So thank you
so much.
Great, Mark.
Thank you.
You have 646-425. Please state your name and tell us where you're calling from.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Bilal Abu Salam from the Bronx.
Yes.
And I've been with the community since the 60s. And there was a time when I used to run up the stairs with those little street lights, even after having a hip replacement some years ago. But today, it's a struggle getting up those stairs. And if we move into a new place, it'd be a blessing for me and for all the people who have not been able to do that. And then Musa went through years suffered the fact that his mother and father were not able to ever hear him teach because they couldn't come up those stairs. So we really want to help get this thing done so we get all the community to come and join in this project and in this teaching and our efforts to help the community. Thank you for letting us voice out this program. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam. Alhamdulillah. Yeah, thank you so much, my brother. Alhamdulillah. Rashid, anybody else that we have? Is that okay? So, alhamdulillah.
Yes, we do. We have 718-671, and we have a couple more behind that one. Here we go.
Okay,
718-671. Take your name. Tell us where you called it from.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Emily. I'm a member of Masjid Yusuf Shah for the past, I would say, 50 years, about 50 years between. I actually brought my letter to the Nation of Islam. But for anybody who's been through that experience, you know what I'm talking about. As far as writing the letter to Elijah Muhammad, getting accepted, and getting your ex, and all that whole process. But I just wanted to emphasize that, yes, the seniors do need to come up to the masjid and need to be comfortable when they're there. But we also have to focus on our young people. We have to have a safe place for them to come. So there's a lot of Muslims that's out, not involved with too much of anything, and they don't have a place to go to socialize together. So I think by us, getting this property, this location, that would cover everything that we would need as a community. And not only that, it would be a big accomplishment for the Afro-American community, Islamic community in New York area. I know in the South and in the Midwest and in other places, the real estate is not as hard. It's not as hard as it is in New York. New York is tight with the real estate. So I really would all appreciate if anybody, whoever can donate, whatever amount they can donate, we would appreciate it. And
yes, ma'am.
We're gonna be doing big things. So look out for us.
Thank you so much, alhamdulillah. And most certainly, we're going to try to get some believers to donate. I know I'm going to donate. I'm going to make a pledge. So, alhamdulillah, Rashid, who else we got?
We have 913-999. Please state your name. Tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is open. 913-999. Your mic is open.
Take yourself off of mute. You are live on IWDM Radio.
Assalamualaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
This is Nadia Khalil, Kansas City. I'm a member of Matthew.
It's good to hear your voice, and welcome to the MGM Roundtable. You got a question or comment real quick for Imam Musa?
Yes, I want to verbally give you my support in the good works that you articulated to us on the conference call, and I applaud you, and I was there with your father and here with you now, and will continue in that fashion until Allah calls me in. And I also extend my financial support, my little bit of pennies. So you should
allow
be seeing that here shortly.
God willing. Thank you so much.
Yes, and I just wanted to just give you my support.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much, Sister Khalil. We really appreciate you and the work that you do in the community, too. Thank you so much. And I know that the believers appreciate you, too. All right, Rashid Salam, any other hands in the air? Except no, Imam Musa, I got to get to a meeting.
Okay. No hands in the air.
Okay, but we do care. I know that thing of what they call the party things. They put your hands in the air like you just don't care. When we put our hands in the air, we do care, and I want you to show how much we care like for everybody that's tuning in, listening in, take this information down to Imam Musa. It's going to be given to us, and give something, whatever, however small it is. They take it big, they take it small, they accept it all. Imam Musa,
yes, sir.
Please, if you would, disseminate that information, how we can get some money to you there for the Yusuf Shah Islamic Center.
So we have five different ways. We have Cash App, which is $Y, and then there's USUF, SHAH, I, C, M, B. That's Cash App, $Y, USUF, SHAH, I, C, M, B. That's our Cash App. We have PayPal. It is Masjid Yusuf Shah 01@gmail.com. That is PayPal Masjid Yusuf Shah. And Yusuf Shah is spelled Y-U-S-U-F. Shah is spelled S-H-A-H. 01@gmail.com. Then we have Venmo, and it's at Yusuf Shah IC, and the Venmo is Y, and it was for Yusuf and Shah, and the IC is capitalized. So that's Venmo at Yusuf Shah. Spelled capital Y-U-F, Shah, S-H-E-H, to I-C. They both capitalized. Then we have Zelle, which is at 914-625-3569. That is 914-625-3569. We have check and money orders. And we also accept cash. That is at Yusuf Shah Islamic Center at 10 South 2nd Avenue, Mount Vernon, New York, 10550, and that is Suite 11. Is Yusuf Shah Islamic Center at 10 South 2nd Avenue, Mount Vernon, New York, 10550, Suite 11. Whatever you donate, please state that you're donating for 208 North 5th. So we know that is going strictly to there, because we want to make sure that we put it in the appropriate place. So
yes,
when you give, put 08 North 5th.
Say that one more thing, brother Imam. It got a little blurred, so it will be coming for that purpose. Please say what it is or where is it, what is this should be put.
Okay, I'm going to. You need me to say it all over again, all the cats, all that, or just
Just in regards to if you send in, older believers send a check or
money order.
A money order, mm-hmm. Cashier's check in that regard, and also do the Zelle number one more time, if you would,
no
please.
Problem. So the Zelle number is 914-625. 3569.
Okay.
That's 914-625-569. And if you're going to give check, money order, it is going to Yusuf Shah Islamic Center at 10
South 2nd Avenue, Vernon, New York, 10550, Suite 11. To give, put 208 North 5th. It's for that project in your memo or in your note. But 208 North 5th. And we thank you in advance for all of your charities. And may Allah bless you and reward you and continue to bless you with increase. Your donation that you give to us and any other organization.
Hey, Mark, can I say something? Could you also let him
Yes, go ahead, Rashid.
Let me say this real quick, Brother Imam. If you can send that, all that information you just sent, send it to that number that you got the message from me today. Text me the same information so I can get it disseminated for you for those who didn't get it or want to get some information or pass it on to somebody else, if you don't mind.
Is that the 773 number or the 650 number?
The 650-669-0458. Very good.
You're gonna have
those of you who are on the line who may want to access that information, you can call 650-669-0458. You can text me and I will pass the information on to you that way.
Alhamdulillah. Allahu Akbar. Thank you so much, Rashid Salam. You know, that's an extent communication there and everything. I want to thank you, Imam Musa, for your time and everything coming on, accepting the invitation and all. And may Allah continue to bless you and the believers there. So hopefully everybody will make a contribution, whatever it may be, is not too small. Accept it all. So, Imam Musa, I apologize for keeping you beyond the time. If you want to take a minute, any closing remarks, you have the mic.
Yes. First, Mark, Brother Mark, you know, as we realize, we have classmates. We've been in class, Imam Rashad Abdul Rahman, for years.
Yes.
And alhamdulillah, man, it's been always a pleasure to hear you and hear your exchange. So I thank you for participating in the class with me and us being classmates. I thank you for allowing us the opportunity some rich history from Yusuf Ibn Shah about his family, about his father, and we thank Allah for that opportunity, for allowing us the opportunity to share our work, share our mission, share our goals. And we may Allah bless you for your time, for allowing us time, and may you continue to make this show that you have richer and richer, and with followers and participants and helpers to this work. May Allah bless you. I thank you all for allowing me the opportunity. I do have to leave because I have a meeting.
I know you do, and look, we thank you, and I want to just say real quickly to you, you have an open invitation here on IWDM Radio and at the MGM Roundtable. Please keep me abreast. I did inform the class this Monday, and so we may have some other class member colleagues that's listening in, so I want to also encourage them to make sure that they make a donation. I'm going to make a donation. Everybody, please make a donation. Thank you so much, and may Allah continue to bless you, my your brother and friend, Imam Musa. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
So there you have it. This is the wrap-up for Wednesday Night Productions here on IWDM Radio. And you just heard it live as very distinguished esteemed Imam Musa Abdullah Ali, a longtime resident Imam there of Yusuf Shah Islamic Center, as they try to nail down this new building that they have. And it's going to be so beneficial to our hardworking pioneers there in Mount Vernon, but also the great work that they've been doing for years there at Yusuf Shah Islamic Center. We want you to know that the beat goes on here on IWDM Radio, as tomorrow is the Sister Learning Lab 2, the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, and that would be the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. And we ask that you do tune in. as with Karan Shakir from the Jewel of the South. That's the ATL. That's Atlanta, Georgia. She joins yours truly, Mark Shahid, as we're going to have another outstanding couple, inshallah. And that's going to be Malik Sharif and his wife. And, boy, they have a unique story, so you have to tune in as they accepted to take their vows at the age of 17 while in the W.D. Muhammad High School there in Atlanta, Georgia. And, of course, we are on the True Love Recipe, and we got the three D's that we should be looking at, and so please be ready for that. It will start at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 6 p.m. Central Standard Time and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. Friday is Salat to Jumu'ah Day, Muslim worldwide. Those who are immobilized can't get out and about, as we talked about the pioneers. You can come back here to IWDM Radio each and every Friday with email Michael, a.k.a. Mikhail Sahir. And that begins at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 1 p.m. Central Standard Time and 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time. Salat to Jumu'ah here on IWDM Radio. And the longest-running production that we have here is, once again, with the very distinguished, esteemed Imam Mikhail Sahir. Words Make People. That happens each and every Sunday afternoon, beginning at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, is high noon Central Standard Time, and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And the beginning of the week, and my very good friend, the very distinguished Imam Nazim Pasha, ABC. That's what he hosts, ABC, like 1, 2, 3. But it's Al-Islam-based conversation. And you know, to have a conversation, it takes 2, 3, 4 or more to have a conversation. It's relatively a new production, but it's a very interesting, intriguing conversation, and it's Al-Islam-based. So you want to tune in each and every Monday starting at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 5 p.m. Central Standard Time and 3 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. On Tuesday is the very distinguished esteemed Rashid Salam, as he hosts along with his returning guest, Instructor Abdul Shahid. It's about the science of your health and you learning lab. Yes, you know Allah has created us, and he's given us good health. And so if you want to know how it is that you get the science, the insight of all it is that Allah has given to us, this is the program that you want to tune in. You want to bring your notebook and pad. It happens each and every Tuesday on this Learning Lab, the Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab, at 7 p.m. Eastern. It's 6 p.m. Central and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. And don't forget to bring a family member, a friend, a colleague, a neighbor, or one of the community members, or many more that you can invite, because somebody, everybody got something that they need help with. And so we get back to the night, and you just heard it live here each and every Wednesday, the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with the very distinguished, esteemed host, Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean, and yours truly, Mark Shahid. We're here each and every Wednesday night as we give in terms of correct parenting, how to reconstruct the destructive family life. It begins each and every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern, it's 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And you just heard it live, followed by the MGM Roundtable, the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, hosted by yours truly, Mark Shahid, as I always like to bring and present to you, very distinguished, esteemed guests, inside the community of Imam W.D. Muhammad, outside the community of Imam W.D. Muhammad, and topics that are pertinent to us as a community, as you just heard tonight with our two distinguished guests, Imam Musa Abdullah Ali, and also the son of Captain Yusuf Shah. That would be Yusuf Ibn Shah was our special guest tonight. So we want to say also, last but not least, let's support the Muslim Journal, as it has been the lifeblood of our community for many years. And if you have the wherewithal, make sure you can make a gift to maybe a family member, a friend, a colleague, a neighbor, or maybe a pioneer, or maybe your local library or many can read the Muslim Journal. So we do support the Muslim Journal, and it's time to be grateful this year here on IWDM Radio. And so we want to say to you, until next time, Islam is for you and yours. May God's peace be with you now.
Damn, Walmart. On my shoulder, Allah did. All these things Allah did. Yes, he made a beautiful king.
Oh, yes.
Allah did. Allah did. Yeah, now. Allah did. Allah.
Assalamu alaikum. That's all, folks.